What would your life look like if fear was not an option? Find out in the new series, Them, The Scare. It's an all-new installment of the horror anthology, now streaming only on Prime Video. The series takes place in Los Angeles in the early 90s, with a city on edge of complete chaos. Deborah Iorindi returns this season as LAPD homicide detective Dawn Reeve, who has been assigned to solve a new case that has left even the most hardened detectives shaken, to find the South Side Slayer. As she gives everything to uncover the truth, something horrific and supernatural begins to haunt her and her family. Them, The Scare features the legendary Pam Grier, Luke James, Wayne Knight, plus many more, and is sure to keep you guessing at every turn. Horror fans, get ready for your new obsession. This is something you do not want to miss. And remember, fear is not an option. Watch Them, The Scare, on Prime Video, now streaming.
Dear listener, I want you to picture the future. A future where you're on a spaceship. A spaceship that has Atari graphics and everybody smoking. And then you can get in the right mind space to watch the movie Alien. Welcome in, everybody, to our very long awaited review of the movie Alien. I am your host, as always, Rob Coakley. Joining me is Dave Wilkins.
Nice to be here. Thanks for having me.
And Jesse Wilkins.
It's good to be here. Thank you for having me and Dave.
I hate you guys so much. Before we jump in and start giving some potentially hot takes, I actually don't know Jesse or Dave's takes on this movie. Maybe there's some scalding hot ones, maybe not. Let's get a synopsis from Dave.
In deep space, the crew of the commercial starship Nostromo is awakened from their cryo sleep capsules halfway through their journey home to investigate a distress call from an alien vessel. The terror begins when the crew encounters a nest of eggs inside the alien ship. An organism from inside an egg leaps out and attaches itself to one of the crew, causing him to fall into a coma. So, as always, I'm going to issue a spoiler alert because we are going to spoil this movie. It is a classic. If you haven't seen it, definitely go watch that. That was just the regular synopsis from IMDb, so it doesn't actually spoil anything, even though it kind of does. But this is one of, if not the most influential sci-fi horror movie of all time. And this is, in my opinion, this is hands down the best sci-fi horror franchise. I think it's the best sci-fi franchise ever. Star Wars fans won't like that, but I think a lot of the latter Star Wars movies don't hold up. Well, not even don't hold up. I think they just sucked.
And it's time to stop making fun of the Star Wars movies before we get a lot of angry comments.
The latter ones. It's not even a hot take that some of the newer Star Wars movies aren't good. And I don't even think that Star Wars fans will disagree with me, but we're not reviewing Star Wars. So
who do you cares? Know Star Wars fans? They will disagree with anything that you say about Star Wars.
Diehard Star Wars fans don't like some of the newer movies. I know this. Okay. Anyways, I said it's possibly the best sci-fi franchise ever. In my opinion, it is.
His name's Dave Wilkins. Dave Wilkins, just for anyone that needs to know.
Yeah, well.
$30 patron tier, we will give away Dave's address.
Show up. This is one of my all-time favorite horror movies. I think
you hear people outside going, you're like, what is going on outside? But people with their plastic
LARPing
lightsabers.
This is one of my all-time favorite horror movies. I'm a big monster movie, big creature feature thing. That's kind of like my go-to when it comes to horror movies. And this one, the creature is so iconic. And it's just, I'll say it carries the movie. Like, the creature carries the movie. The movie does not need to be carried. This movie was paced perfectly. Acting was top notch. Ellen Ripley is the greatest final girl of all time. The graphics were amazing for the 70s. The set design was iconic. Everything about this movie was just makes it an absolute legend in the horror genre, in the sci-fi genre. I can't give this movie enough praise. I love the origins behind it. I love the story. I love the way it plays out. I love the way it ends. I don't really have a whole lot of negatives about this. We can probably find a few, you know, given the time that it came out. I know there was a lot that almost went into this movie that would have been really bad. And there was a bunch of directions that it could have gone if certain writers had their way that would have made it really silly. But what the final project and the genius minds of Ridley Scott and Dan O'Bannon and everyone else that made this movie really, really designed this project that became a masterpiece, in my opinion.
It really did. And there was a lot of things with this movie that were different than other movies. And this is one that if it came out today, it would be an absolute success.
Mm-hmm.
Even as is. Like the graphics, yeah, they're 70s graphics, but there was nothing in this that I was like, well, that was pretty corny, other than some of the computer models, but that's what was available at the time. And the thing with Ridley in this movie, I'm sorry, with Ripley in this movie, confusing with the director, but with Ripley in this movie is like, you don't really get that she's the protagonist until at least halfway through the movie. She's mm-hmm. just another person on the ship, and everyone has their roles on the ship. You have similarities with this in the movie The Thing, obviously, for obvious reasons. If you haven't listened to our Thing review, go back and check that out. But with this one, she takes control once chaos happens, and she's the only one on this ship that stays composed and knows what to do consistently through the entire movie. And it started with not letting the astronauts back onto the ship because they had to be quarantined. And she's like, no, this is the protocol. So she's following the rules. And then as you see in different scenarios where there's people's lives at risk, she is the only one that really keeps her composure. You see other people who buckle under pressure, or they don't react the way that they're supposed to react in certain situations. And she's the one that is consistent and keeps it together, her and Ash, because Ash is a robot, it turns out.
Baggins.
Yeah, exactly. And what a badass character he was too. It was so genius the way that they inserted him into this movie without them knowing that he's a robot. And if you go back and watch it again, you catch these little hints of him processing information and realizing that his only objective is going to be to get this little alien thing, or quickly a big alien thing, but to get this creature back to Earth. Doesn't matter what happens to the crew. The only objective is get that specimen back to Earth for whatever kind of research they wanted to do on it, or whatever the intentions were there. But wow, what a badass movie. And the other thing that this movie didn't do that a lot of movies do is they didn't have too much monster. So the alien, which is probably one of the best in any movie across the board in terms of the way that it looks, the way that it behaves, the mouth within the mouth, everything about this thing is unsettling to look at. But you didn't see it too much in the movie. And it led to certain scenes of massive suspense because you didn't know where this thing was. You don't have a chase scene where it's chasing you down the hallway, but you think it might be a chase scene where it might be chasing you down the hallway. You just don't know. So it was, and it added to the fear of this movie and the uneasiness and the tension that it would build, because you never know where this thing could be. You don't know where it could be either, right? It's growing rapidly.
Mm-hmm. Right. I agree with all of that. And that's part of what I think makes this movie the best, is the cinematography of this movie is just like some of the best cinematography in any genre of movie. It doesn't matter that it's horror. You can bring it up with anything. And for me specifically, it goes to just some of the shots that they created at the very end when she's in the escape pod, when you kind of think it's over, just when you think it's over and leading into that final little tussle, we'll call it, whatever you want to say. It's very understated, but when she's wearing the helmet, just some of the shots of her wearing the helmet were just like so well done. I know that sounds weird, but if you go back and watch the movie, it's like, wow, this is just like a really good shot that I don't think a lot of directors would have taken. I think they would have gone for more of a wide shot on this.
Right. And I actually paid attention to that, and it's a great point, because she went into a closet to put on the astronaut suit, and the camera angle is like down and to her left, and it's just panning up, or to her right, and it's just panning up at her. And for some reason it works. And you have her basically climb into the outfit and put the whole outfit on. And she's fumbling with the helmet a little bit because she is in a closet. That scene really stuck out to me. I'm like, this is geniusly shot, because for some reason this camera angle works. And for some reason it still captures the fact that she's in a confined space, nervous as hell with a death threat just looming outside. I've seen this movie multiple times. What was happening in that scene? Was he stuck or was he asleep?
He was injured.
He was injured.
He was injured because he was stuck in the hatch. And that's why he was kind of, but it was such a, that's why it was such a suspenseful scene. Yeah. It was so well done. And it was shocking. Like Rob said, you thought the movie was over. People were leaving the theaters when this first came out because they thought it was, they just thought it was wrapping up, which would have been kind of a weird end. Like, why do you have like an extra 5 minutes of her just like getting ready for bed? Right. Kind of weird. Well, almost should have seen it coming, but didn't.
Yeah, exactly. So I hadn't seen the movie since I was a kid. But I definitely had seen, I remember the cat scene and I remember a whole bunch of scenes from this movie.
The cat was in the second one too.
Right. But 100% I've seen this movie. But this time around, I'm like, oh yeah, maybe this was how it ended. But then once the scene went on for a couple of minutes, I'm like, this ain't over. Yeah. Like this alien is somewhere on this ship with her. They would not have dragged this out this long.
Yeah. So I think like that's the whole movie. The cinematography is great. But if you like want to encapsulate it and just like, where I would focus on in terms of that, it's that final, just that whole final sequence is just like some of the best shot stuff. And I love that final sequence, and we'll get into more of the movie, but I love how understated it is. Like you said, Dave, the alien is injured. We don't get like this Hulk up moment from the alien, right? Like we get a last injured barrage of something that would be injured and in a panic coming after her, but doesn't really get to her. And to your point of her being the best final girl, it's what I love about this is we can have this movie versus a movie like, because Predator is always going to be like a comparison to this movie unfairly.
You can reasonably compare this movie to Halloween from the year before, John Carpenter.
That would be better.
These guys were like arch nemesis at that point. Mm-hmm.
Sure, but a lot of people bring up Predator when they talk about this movie. Mm-hmm. And I love Predator. I love Arnold Schwarzenegger in that movie, but that is, you know, classic 80s machismo, Arnold Schwarzenegger getting ready for battle against this thing and just brawn, right? Where Ripley is, there's progression in her throughout this movie as she's reacting like a normal person would react on this ship. Right. Like she's not super powered up, but like it's a regular person and how a regular person would deal under these circumstances, like right. at their best. And that's what I kind of like about it is you get that as opposed to just this badass that comes out and Ripley becomes more of a badass and justifiably so as the series goes on, mm-hmm. because you're dealing with more. So you have to make them, you know, you have to make her a stronger character throughout, but for this particular movie, and I know people like Aliens better than Alien, we'll get into that in the future. I just think it's, as a character, I don't know if there's a better character in a singular movie than Ripley in this movie.
The acting was great as well. Were you going to comment on that, Dave?
I was just going to say I agree.
Okay, cool. The other scene that we got to talk about is the chest popping scene, right?
Love
where
it.
The alien pops out of the chest. This was such a shocking scene. And I guess the tactic that they used is, I guess the actors didn't know that this was going to happen. Idea. So right. all of a sudden blood just squirts out. They're all like, so all their reactions are natural, which is super cool. But what an unsettling way to get attacked by an alien where this thing is just, well, first of all, when it pops out of your chest, obviously, but when this thing just looks like a crab monster thing, just octopuses itself onto this dude's face, and oh my god, it's just like you just feel for him. You're like, this sucks, literally,
yeah,
and figuratively. Like, this is just not how I'd want to go. Obviously, any one of these deaths, not how I would want to go in this movie, but that would be my least favorite.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely awful.
The creature design in this was top notch, and especially for that time, it was just I'm still blown away by how good the aliens, just from the concept design to the application to the final look of the project. It was just, I can't believe that came out in 1979. I even remember when I was a kid watching this movie, I was like, this is really good for that. Cause you see, like Rob was saying earlier, like the Atari style graphics, and then you see this monster come out. You're like, wasn't expecting that. But there were a lot of decisions that were made along the making of this movie that led to why this was such a wild success. We talked about this a little bit in the thing review for the original thing. And have either of you guys seen the movie Dark Star? I'm going to assume not.
I don't think so.
It's kind of obscure. It was John Carpenter and Dan O'Bannon worked on it together. And it was like a sci-fi comedy. Real, not a good movie. You wouldn't like it. It's not, it just wasn't good. It seemed like a film school project that kind of like got, like took off. And they made that movie. And basically like the alien, this was in 74. The alien in that movie was literally a beach ball with duck feet. And so this was Dan O'Bannon's prior project. And then he went on, you know, O'Bannon and Carpenter split. Carpenter went and did Halloween and eventually The Thing. And then O'Bannon, the year after Halloween, did Alien. So like to go from the beach ball with duck feet, literally a beach ball with duck feet. Like it's like it looked inflatable. Like to this thing is crazy. And I think that if Dan O'Bannon had full control, he would have made a piece of shit movie. But also he was the reason that the studio didn't put out a piece of shit. So the studio didn't give Dan O'Bannon full control, but also Dan O'Bannon had the idea to bring in H.R. Giger for the concept design of these aliens. And Giger had the 2 years earlier came out with the Necronomicon book, which was basically like a compendium series named after H.P. Lovecraft's book, Necronomicon. And some of the images in this book, let me pull it up actually and just show you guys because they're awesome and you'll see what I'm talking about. So these are some of the images from Giger's book, Necronomicon. You can kind of see where the inspiration came from these aliens. Yeah, here's absolutely. One. Here's another one. And they kind of have like sexual undertones, or not even undertones, like overtones. And this movie kind of does have that, you know, where the aliens impregnating people and stuff like that. Like, look at this one. This is pretty much exactly what you would, you could see where the inspiration came from. But it was O'Bannon's idea to bring this guy on. And the studio, so Giger wanted $1,000 as a deposit. And the studio said, no, we're not going to pay $1,000 for this guy. And O'Bannon was like, I got to have it. So he wrote the guy a check for $1,000 out of his own pocket to make sure that he was on the project. And this guy came in and did the concept design for the Xenomorph and for the Facehugger. And I think that if you didn't have him on this project, you might have ended up with another beach ball with duck feet type alien.
Yeah, he could have. And then we didn't even mention like the design of the robot. So you have this drone guy, and when he is opened up, it is the opposite of what you would expect. You were expecting, oh shit, he's a robot. He's going to look like the Terminator, but he's like sweating this milky substance, and they open it up and there's all these like weird kind of balloon looking things with all these cords and everything. It's just not how you would expect a robot to look. When you think of a robot, especially in the late 70s, early 80s, it's going to be very corny and metal and robotic. And this is the opposite of what this thing had. So it was just such a cool, unique design on a robot, to a point where like when you're first watching this and you see milk coming out and all these different kind of things happening, you're like, oh, he's an alien as well, but he wasn't. And it's just such an important thing. And what a cool scene with Ash when they reignite the wires and they yep. recharge his head, and he has a little bit more to say at the end, and he kind of has that creepy smile. Really cool the way that they shot that. And again, it's something that just, it holds up. A lot of the stuff from The Thing was awesome, but it was goofy. Absolutely nothing from this movie was goofy. Everything was terrifying with this movie. And not taking anything away from The Thing, I think we all gave that a 5, but this one is just such a different approach to the aliens here.
It is.
The giant alien design was pretty cool too. I know it was just like this dead alien, but the alien ship that they go to, and you see that giant alien, like it's just such a...
What would your life look like if fear was not an option? Find out in the new series, Them, The Scare. It's an all-new installment of the horror anthology, now streaming only on Prime Video. The series takes place in Los Angeles in the early 90s, with a city on edge of complete chaos. Deborah Iorindi returns this season as LAPD homicide detective Don Reeve, who has been assigned to solve a new case that has left even the most hardened detectives shaken, to find the South Side Slayer. As she gives everything to uncover the truth, something horrific and supernatural begins to haunt her and her family. Them, The Scare features the legendary Pam Grier, Luke James, Wayne Knight, plus many more, and is sure to keep you guessing at every turn. Horror fans, get ready for your new obsession. This is something you do not want to miss. And remember, fear is not an option. Watch Them, The Scare, on Prime Video, now streaming.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
A nothing in terms of, like, they were not even like overly shocked by the appearance of this alien, right?
They had to have known that these things existed out there. I think that was kind of the consensus.
Right, that's my point. Like, I like that they did it that way, and I think that we brush past it a little bit, but that whole scene where the aliens are coming back, I think merits discuss. I mean, the astronauts are coming back to the ship. Merits discussion because Ripley wants to quarantine them like she's supposed to. And Doctor, he has evil intentions, as we come to learn. But what do you do in that situation where this astronaut that's part of your team is clearly going to die if you don't bring him onto the ship, but you're not supposed to? There's human morality that comes into play here versus, you know, protocol. One versus the many, not even just protocol, but like
self-preservation.
Self-preservation for you and the rest of your crew as well. What do you do in that spot? And I think they could have played with that a little bit more than they did and almost made Ripley, I don't want to say more villainous, but like leaned into that to get a little ambiguity between her and Ash. And make like sort of a change as you went forward from there, sort of almost paint her like as someone you're questioning, with him being a little bit of the moral high ground, but then you learn the actual truth. Mm-hmm. would have been an interesting way to play it. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the movie, but I think that that in particular is a scene that we could have played up a little bit more in this movie.
Yeah, I don't know if it was more for building character development so much as it was they had to. It was your first clue that Ash, it was going to be a callback later. Like, oh, that's why Ash wanted to let them in. And that was because he needed the specimen on the ship.
Right. So, but you can still do that with the way I was just describing. And again, I'm not saying you have to change the movie. Like it still works completely fine. I just think that as I was watching it, I'm like, I think I would have wanted to play with that a little bit more, where that's where you could make the contention amongst the crew a little bit. Going into it, I mean, there was plenty of that still, but you could have people on both sides of that. Like, this is what we should have done. What if it happens to us? What if it's contagious? Like, you know, you could have played with that element a little bit more, but it doesn't. I'm not by any means saying that it hurts the movie.
No, it's but yeah, they could have done something like that. I thought the way that this movie ended was so good, especially leading up to the escape pod situation. You had so many levels of anxiety and stress between the whole crew. So they get their escape plan. Another thing they added to this movie that I give them credit for, because they didn't really have to, was, all right, grab as many oxygen tanks as we can, or whatever kind of tanks they got to get, and load those things on first. It was just something that you would have thought maybe would have already been on the escape pod, but it just added more tasks to complete before this thing self-destructs. And then you have, she has to completely change her course of action, because all of a sudden you had both of the crewmates that were still alive, they get themselves killed.
So now it's just her and her cat. Then she leaves the cat behind and she still goes back to get the cat, which I loved. But you have the countdown going on. So self-destruction is about to happen. Then her path gets blocked. And then you also have this alien creature that could be anywhere actively hunting her down. I think it actually gets distracted by the cat for a little while. And it's just so stressful. And you see you just hear the constant countdown happening. And you see it's just such a stressful, tense moment in the movie. And it just really wrapped it up perfectly. And then you finally get that sigh of relief when she finally makes it work and takes off. And
she even tries to stop the countdown.
She does.
And she's unsuccessful, and her reaction is like what anyone's reaction would be, right? Where yes. She's yelling at the ship and throwing things, even though it's not going to do anything. I think we all kind of would react that way as well. So yeah, it's just so tense that final act is so, so tense.
What was her reasoning for stopping the countdown? Cause she didn't think she'd make it to the ship in time.
That's the way I took it.
She did.
So there was a scene that was cut out of this movie for a good reason. The scene was, and you'd see it if you watched the director's cut. I don't know if you guys did, but she stopped the countdown because she found Dallas and Captain or whatever. Was that
when he was all cocooned to the wall or whatever, and he's like, "Help me!"
Yeah, yeah, kill me. So this was actually a deleted scene. So you watched the director's cut. And she burns them both. And they cut that from the movie because they wanted that to be part of the sequel. And that was kind of like here we get into sort of the second one there. Right. Sorry, spoiler alert. that they had an oh shit moment where they realized that the aliens were keeping the people alive to implant eggs in them and harvest the eggs. So they cut that scene out altogether. And that way it could be more of a shock in the second movie.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Can we talk about the flamethrower? Because that's one thing, as they were using it on a spaceship, mm-hmm. It just feels like a bad idea. Like, right. Like of all the weapons.
Cigarettes and flamethrowers are probably not part of the allowed things that you could use on spaceships. I'm just a nuclear physicist. I'm not an astronaut. Well, but I would assume that you got to leave your flamethrowers and cigarettes at home.
Right. So in the second movie, when they realized that everything was basically a compression chamber and a bullet could, blow up the whole ship if it hits the wrong thing, and they made them switch over from live rounds to just fire to prevent that from happening. So that was a thing in the second movie also. So I guess flamethrower is totally okay on a spaceship.
Yeah. And I guess I'm kind of glad that, I mean, she used it a little bit at the end, but it was more so she was using it as, self-defense, but she didn't actually burn the alien with it, as far as I know, right? I don't think she ever actually... I know she fired it off a couple times behind her.
Well, I think Yeah, I think you're right, yeah. And she just used it at the very end when it was stuck in the door?
No, she used this little grappling gun thing. Okay, something different, like a dart gun or something. But anyways...
The other weapon, before they even get to the flamethrower, is we're on a spaceship, everything's supposed to be advanced, and when they're about to go start hunting the alien, it's like, we have a cattle prod.
Okay, so
why?
Why do they have a cattle prod? That's a good question. Sure, yeah. But I was gonna say, in defense of not having legitimate weapons for the cattle. Yeah, for space them not. You never know when you're gonna come across a space cow, an unruly space cow.
Gotta put her down. Gotta lay her down. Yeah,
but these aren't scientists. These aren't soldiers. These aren't. I mean, technically they're astronauts, right? They're in space, but this was basically
scientists.
They had, for the most part, they're just laborers. They're grunts. It's a ship was going to a planet to gather resources. They're basically oil riggers on a ship. Yeah. So they're not equipped for combat. They're not equipped for much. So I think they had a scientist, one doctor, and then they had the pilot, and then everyone else was just basically oil workers.
Right. So you had similarities with that. The only reason I brought up the flamethrower in there, that I'm glad that they didn't use it too much as a weapon, is you had so many similarities with the thing, and the thing was all flamethrower, right? They were just using the flamethrower left and right. So I'm kind of glad that this was a different way to fight this thing. And
this came out 2 years before the thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. Right. But I'm just saying, in order of me watching these movies again, it wasn't, because there are so many similarities with this and the thing, right?
Right.
And we discussed why in our previous review, but it was different enough, and it was so good.
Well, it is interesting. If you haven't seen our review of The Thing and you don't plan to go back and watch it, it is kind of interesting. So very briefly, when Dan O'Bannon and John Carpenter did Dark Star, they wanted to do another project. And O'Bannon wanted to do a spaceship type of movie. And John Carpenter wanted to do the sort of the direction of The Thing from Another Planet from the 50s, which is, you know, in Antarctica. They couldn't agree. And then they had to end up having a falling out because John Carpenter took over the exclusive directing role of Dark Star, and O'Bannon kind of felt left out of that. So they split ways and they each took their portions of the script and they wrote their own movie. And that's how you ended up with John Carpenter's Thing and O'Bannon's Alien.
Worked out for us.
Worked out great for two, like probably the two best sci-fi horror movies available.
Yeah.
The sequel is close too. Like, I love Aliens also. We mentioned that earlier. I could go back and forth which one. I think this is a better horror movie, whereas Aliens is more like action sci-fi.
I don't think that's the question.
Save that for the Aliens review, because I want to have a good debate on that one when we actually get into that review.
I'd love to review the whole franchise. I think that'd be fun, because this is actually a super fun franchise. This is like one of them, like, kind of like Evil Dead, where they just don't miss, with the exception of the Alien vs. Predator movies. That's not good.
So fucking wrong. Oh, so we're going to have fun with this because you're so fucking wrong right now.
Well, I mean, I liked 1, 2, and 3. 3 wasn't as good as 1 and 2, but I still liked it. Yo, you don't like, come on, dude, David Fincher with Sigourney Weaver and Tywin Lannister?
3.
It wasn't as good as the first two.
Save it for the next one. Let's hop into some ratings, boys. Rob, what do you think?
So my only issue with this movie is not technically with this movie. It's with sci-fi movies in general, where they're limited by like the technology of the time. So you get the Atari graphics, you get the smoking on the ship, you get the hairstyles, right? Like, and this is a problem with every sci-fi movie. It just looks so dated in those aspects as you go on. But I think I'm going to give it a 4.9 out of 5. Because there's a cattle prod. And I don't like that.
I got it out of 5. This is a perfect horror movie for me.
Yeah, this is a 5. It's too iconic. It's too influential. And it's just acting is great across the board. There were some Academy Awards in there. There were a lot of nominations. This movie is, for its time and for what it could have been, it was pretty much perfect. I mean, it was, and it's just holds up. Whereas so many 80s movies and 70s movies, the graphics don't hold up, even when they use practical effects. Jesse, I think you had a good point comparing it to The Thing, which is like the apex of practical effects. And they hold up, but they do when they don't. This one holds up more than The Thing as far as the practical effects go, because they're just so good. There's just too much to not give it a 5, I think.
I'm with it.
All right. You guys want some fun facts about this movie?
Absolutely. Yep.
I got a couple. So Ripley, do you know who was originally supposed to play her?
Howard Stern.
Tom Waits.
Meryl Streep. Meryl Streep was supposed to play that, but she ended up, there was a death and she ended up not taking the role. So, and cool. The Captain Dallas was originally supposed to be played by?
Kurt Russell.
No, but I like that's a pretty good guess.
Tom Hanks.
Harrison Ford. He turned the role down because after Star Wars, he didn't want to be typecast. But after the movie's success, he ended up regretting it and ended up working with Ridley Scott on a future project called Blade Runner. Maybe you've heard of it.
Oh. It's kind of a divisive movie, Blade Runner.
Yeah, I hear a lot of people saying it's better than Alien, and I think that's absolute nonsense.
I have to watch it again. Like, I honestly haven't seen it in years and years. I haven't seen it recently either. From my memory, it's not better than Alien, but I'd have to go back with a much more cultured brain that I have now.
Yes.
And see what I think of it.
Fucking ketchup on your chicken sandwiches and stuff. Yeah, such culture.
No, I don't put it on it. I dip it in it. It's a dippable situation.
So
all right, let's wrap it up here, boys. What are we reviewing next?
I think. I know we want to do Aliens, but I think we should hold off on doing the sequel right away. I think we need to jump into another franchise.
Right.
And
Toy Story.
They just announced the next movie in this franchise is coming out next year, I believe. So I think we should start this one and let's get into the first Final Destination.
Okay.
Sounds fun.
I like it. Let's do that.
That'll be our next movie. We'll review that. But until next time, I have been Rob Coakley, joined by Jesse and Dave. We'll see you later.